Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amongst many misconceptions which prevail regarding Islam and its political directive is the notion that the rightly guided caliphate, or the first four caliphates, which is also called the Khulafa Rashida, it was not elected or it was not based on the principle of Amruhum Shura Bainahum, because we see that some of the caliphs were nominated, there was no election, that we do not find any details of any election taking place, and therefore is it not a violation of the Quranic principle of Amruhum Shura Bainahum, which clearly states that the Muslim ruler should enjoy the conference of the majority, or the Muslim ruling party should enjoy the conference of the masses. In other words, if Islam says Amruhum Shura Bainahum, it means that in all cases the rulers shall be elected, they shall be elected to rule after they enjoy the support of the majority, and they shall continue to rule if they have this support of the majority, and they shall be deposed once they lose this support. So is it not the case that the Khulafa-i Rashida, or the rightly guided caliphate, stood in violation of this Quranic principle? Now, this is a very, very perfunctory analysis if people have concluded so. Because if we study the history books in detail, we find that each of these four caliphs was absolutely elected in line with this principle of Amruhum Shura Bainahum. It was only a question that we know that has to be addressed in the right perspective. We know that the Quran says that the people or the group which enjoys the ultimate majority of the masses has to assume power. Now, the Prophet, while he said al-Khilafat al-Almat min Quraysh, what he meant was that after him, the Quraysh would be the rulers, not because they were racial superior, but because they were the ones who held the support of the majority. So therefore, rulers had to be elected after them from this majority party. Now, if we just study the details of the caliphate, or the rightly guided caliphate, we'll find that the majority leader within that party was elected through certain criteria, through certain principles which were imposed in those times. In other words, it was not a general election which was going to take place. The only thing was that the Quraysh were in power at that time, and as long as they remained in power, the only need was to elect the next party leader once the previous one was had died, maybe, or he was going to die, and he was thinking that after him, someone else who holds the majority opinion in his support should be elected the ruler. So if we study the details, we will come to know that, first of all, let's see what happened in the first instance. We know that the Caliph Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه was nominated by the Caliph Umar immediately after the Prophet had passed away, so that things could not get out of hand. And this was because he knew that Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه enjoyed the support of the majority. And he also said that his decision should not be made a precedent, because La khilafata illa an mashfiratim il Muslimin, because the khilafat can only take place after that the opinion of the majority has been sought, or the opinion of the consultation of the Muslims have been sought. And he said that he had taken this decision keeping in view the certain circumstances which had arisen in those times. In other words, we know that the Caliph Abu Bakr was elected to this post right in line with the fact that he was the person who enjoyed the support of the majority at that time, and Hazrat Umar, sensing that something untoward might arise, he immediately nominated him as a party leader of those times, of the Muhajirun. Now, we know that once the Caliph Abu Bakr, when it was imminent that he would die, he called various leaders of the Muhajirun to consult with them as to who should be the Khalifa after him. And he made this consultation, and this has been clearly mentioned in many history books. For example, if you look up the Qadi ibn Sa'd, one of the earliest history books of Islam, we'll find him taking a consultation, consulting with various members of the leaders of the Muslims, and asking them if he nominates Umar as the party leader, what would be their opinion. And we know that the majority, there was almost very few people who differed, and ultimately Umar was given this charge because he was the next party leader. In other words, it was not a general election. We knew, the Caliph Abu Bakr knew that it was primarily just a change in hands. It was as if a party leader whose death looked imminent, he was trying to find out his successor who would succeed after him. It was not going to the Muslims in general to find a ruler. It was as if a party leader was nominating his own successor, because that party still enjoyed the confidence of the majority. Now, the same procedure, of course, was not adopted by Hazrat Umar. We know he entrusted this situation to six major members, to six prominent members of the Muslim Ummah, because he thought that all six of them might have equal weight as far as the support of the majority was concerned. And they said that they should come to a decision amongst themselves. And we know later on that by a special scheme adopted by Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, we know that Hazrat Usman was given this charge. And later on, we know that Hazrat Ali was elected as a caliph, and the only difference is that whether this election was on the basis of coercion or whether Muslims freely elected him is the only case which might come into discussion. However, as far as the democratic nature of party leaders to be elected to their post is concerned, it was absolutely crystal clear and it was absolutely transparent. All the first four caliphs were primarily caliphs of the Muhajirun, and these Muhajirun of the Quraysh, they enjoyed the majority of the masses, and it was just a question of the party leader being elected to that post. So it is erroneous to believe that the first four caliphs were not elected because on the basis of consultation, because people think that there was a general election that should have taken place on each of these occasions. They do not realize that in all such instances, on all these four occasions, the Muhajirun, they enjoyed the support of the majority, and it was just a question of the party leader being elected one after the other. When the previous one was imminent or he was killed, it was of course necessary to just re-elect the party leader in his place. So in a nutshell, we can say that in the times of the rightly guided caliphate, the Muhajirun enjoyed the majority, and in accordance with the principle of Amruhum Shura Bainahum, they always remain in power. And the caliphs which are elected within the Muhajirun were elected as the people who enjoyed the majority, the support of the majority of the ruling party, which was already enjoying. So it has to be understood that in the light of Amruhum Shura Bainahum, the rightly guided caliphate came into being right in accordance with what this verse said. What happened later on, what happened after Hazrat Ali, of course, we are not going to discuss it here. It's another thing, it's another incident absolutely of a different sort. But as far as the rightly guided caliphate is concerned, we can say with absolute certainty that they were elected on the basis of the Quranic verse, Amruhum Shura Bainahum. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisair al-muslimina wal-muslimat.